Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip. Mark Cuban's been fined 500,000 big ones for his criticism of officials and his tweets, quite frankly, following the February 22nd loss to the Hawks. Cuban went on the court twice that night to confront officials. Mr. Michael Wilbon, are you surprised that fine is this large? Mr. Michael Wilbon, are you just stunned?
Oh, completely stunned.
He has no words. I mean,
he's watching Cuban and going, look at that.
What is he, over $10 million now, right?
Well,
he has paid at least $3 million in public fines. But I mean, it's
public fines.
Whatever the number is,
Brian, you're not going to be surprised. You shouldn't.
Yeah, I wonder how they came to that. They're like, do you think we can get away with 600,000? No, let's give them 5.
No, just go to 5.
Welcome to The Jump. I am Brian Windhorst in for Rachel Nichols. Today I'm joined by our NBA reporter extraordinaire, Malika Andrews. And the GOAT.
She left Chicago. I'm not speaking
of her. The co-host of Pardon the Interruption. The winner of the Kurt Gowdy Award heading into Springfield this summer.
Ow!
He needs no further introduction. Michael Wilbon.
Thank you.
Coming up, LeBron James says he doesn't care about winning the MVP this season. Do you buy that? We'll get into that later in the show. But first, the Clippers won their sixth straight game last night, and they did it by shutting down the micro ball Rockets, holding Houston to just 36% shooting from the field, 17% from three-point range. Mr. Wilbon, are the Clippers clicking at the right time now?
Yes, I think it's the right time. You know, you could be a little early, even now, because the thing the Clippers have to do is be healthy. I mean, that stat to me, the only important stat out there, team-related stat, is the one that says they're 10-0 and they don't have anybody on the injured list.
Pretty good, right?
That's it, right? That's the whole deal. And we've all had enough conversations with people in the Clippers camp, including the head coach, who were saying, hey, shut up. We have to be healthy. We have to get 15, 18, 20 games. Well, now we're plus 20. What do you do? Do you manage it? Do you just let it go? And you don't want to see these guys limping into the postseason. But if they are running into the postseason, they are going to be, to me, I know they won't be the Vegas favorite, they'll be my favorite.
Ryan, you know that Brett Brown has a saying. It's all about how the plane lands on April 14th. And that's absolutely right. That's what the Clippers are employing right now. They're looking at how do we need to be going into the playoffs. We need to be playing our best basketball. And that's not a Clipper-specific thing. That's something that a lot of folks around the league think. Now, whether or not, in my mind, it's if the Bucks and the Lakers were in the finals, right, that kind of proves that the NBA regular season, it matters a little bit. Winning those games in the regular season matters. If the Clippers are the team that comes out, then we start getting into, ooh, does this further bolster the argument that the regular season,
last six games we're looking at here, there's a win against Denver. There's a win in Oklahoma City where they're really good at home. And then the Rockets have been red hot. And they took them down some notches last night. And speaking of the Rockets, Mr. Wilbon.
Do we have to?
You know, I know how you feel about this. Here comes the ball. What do you think that the significance of that loss was last night?
The significance was that, as a coach told me earlier in the week, Houston's not going to win that game. They're not going to beat any of the teams that matter in this format. Look, I give the Rockets all the credit in the world for not going with the process and not lying to their fan base for 5 and 6 years. I give them all the credit in the world. Daryl Morey and others, the whole staff, they try to win. They try to do the best thing for them. But it doesn't mean it's going to win. They're not going to beat the Clippers. They're not going to beat the Lakers. I'm not sure they could beat Denver.
I think they believe if they end up in the 4 spot that they would have a puncher's chance against the Lakers. That's what they believe. But last night was a setback.
Last night was a lesson. And everybody in the league's watching it. I've had another coach tell me, everybody in the league knows what it is going to do when they have to play against Houston for real. They all know it. They're waiting to employ it. And we saw that last night. Look, if you tell me the Rockets can play nearly a perfect game and shoot 45% or better 3 times in a series against these really good teams, I'll shut up. But you can't. Because they throw over 20. No, I'll give them a 4th scramble. I'll give them a scramble game, Brian. But they go 0 for 27. And I know over 27 is historically bad. They go nearly historically bad. lots of times in the playoffs over the past few years. You're going to tell me that a team with defensive pride like the Clippers is going to lose twice in a series? No, they're not. And neither will the Lakers. And again, right now, my money would be on Denver if that series was to take place.
There's some big bad boys playing in L.A. that they'd have to deal with.
Yeah, two sets.
Hey, Steph Curry. Remember Steph Curry? He returned to action last night after a 58-game absence. It only felt like 52. And he scored 23 points to go along with 7 assists and 7 rebounds in the loss. And here's what Curry said after the game, getting back into the swing of things. Take a listen.
It felt great. It was a lot of energy. Just anticipation for tonight, just getting back out there on the floor. Throughout the 27 minutes, I felt good, so I'm excited to be back out there. And, you know, we had some good moments. Obviously, Toronto's a, you know, championship team that has a lot of chemistry, and they know how to win. So for us, it was a good step in the right direction.
Well, Bob, what impressed you most about what we saw from Curry last night?
It'll be a weird thing. It's kind of intangible. His spirit.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he came back with the same spirit that Steph Curry plays with.
That's true.
In championship times. And I thought, you know, maybe I watched every second of the post game for him, that conversation. And just his way of assessing, okay, here's what I did, here's what we need to do, how upbeat he was, how upbeat Steve Kerr was as a result of Steph being
lost.
Upbeat.
But it didn't.
They
feel
lost.
Like a loss.
It didn't for the. And let's face it, they've had nothing to really. Well, that's not true. They've been on this quest to find people who can move forward with the real program when it resumes.
Yep.
It resumed in part, largely last night, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it expanded. That spirit expanded into the arena. And, you know, my family has been season ticket holders with the Warriors since the early 2000s. And what they always call me up and tell me is, Malika, there's no spirit in this new arena. There's no energy. And you could see it bleeding into the crowd. It wasn't just the cheese and crackers crowd anymore, right?
They have wine,
expensive
too.
Expensive cheese and crackers.
Exactly. Like, this was some real fans. There was some energy in that building. When was the last time you guys saw energy in that building?
Well, they've had moments this year, but your point is well taken. You know, the video of Steph when he came out on the court last night, he like jumped like 3 feet in the air in the tunnel.
It's like a kid.
He was just very excited to play, and he looked loose, and he said that he landed on the hand early in the game and he was fine, and that he needed that, you know, piece of, you know, business to know that he was going to be okay, and that really freed him up to play more. Okay. Hey, as for the team that won that game, by the way, the Raptors became just the second team to clinch a playoff spot this season. Another nice win for them in the Bay, joining the Bucks. The Raptors are second in the East, even after losing Kawhi Leonard this offseason. Malika, is Nick Nurse your Coach of the Year frontrunner doing this?
Impressive, but not necessarily. I mean, I'm still looking at Taylor Jenkins in Memphis. I think he is so impressive.
Can you win Coach of the Year your first year as a head coach? That'd be pretty good.
I mean, I am so impressed. We said we're not speaking today. I am so impressed by what Taylor has been able to do in Memphis. I'm impressed at what he's been able to get out of Ja Morant, who we knew was an incredible talent, but I'm not sure we saw this coming, right? He's a favorite for Rookie of the Year, and they've just been clicking on all cylinders. You're talking about a team that I don't think anyone was like, yep, they're going to make the playoffs. We're good. They're going to be a playoff team. And he elevated them there. And I was also told that he is a coach who almost weekly tries to reach out to these players and say, let's go to dinner. Let's go to lunch. Let's really try to take that time. The Raptors are still the champs. I mean, Nick Nurse is great. I think he's been incredible, especially considering Kawhi Leonard left. But it's not so cut and dry for me.
It's Nick Nurse.
He listened so respectfully.
No, I did, because Malika makes some great points about Taylor Jenkins. And by the way, what do we vote for? Is it three or five
three.
On Coach of the Year?
Three.
It's three. He's on it. He's on the. He's in the three. But man, number two's not walking in that door, is he? He's not walking in. And so if somebody had told you the Raptors would have this record and won some of the games they
had a lot of injuries.
And
it would have been up there with the Grizzlies making the playoffs.
The Grizzlies, as you mentioned, had no pressure because nobody expected anything. Mm. Toronto had some pressure, not pressure to finish first in the East anymore, but just pressure. Okay, let's see what you got. Let's see what you guys can do. You alleged champions without Kawhi there. Well, you know, it sort of reminds me, and I hate to get too Chicago-centric, but it sort of reminds me of the year that Michael Jordan retired, and the Bulls were right there with the Knicks in the Eastern Conference with Scottie Pippen leading the way. And you didn't think there was any way without Michael Jordan, I think they won 54 games, that they could do that. This reminds me of that, and Toronto's even better sort of in that year after, if you look at that streak and the consistency with which they've had. I know they lost that game in Milwaukee, and everybody sort of took the wind out of the sails a little bit. Took it out of your sales and took the vote away from Nick Nurse. But I still think Nick Nurse is at the top of my ballot.
Let me add a name to this conversation. I think Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
With not only getting that team to play well, but taking a bunch of ball handlers and putting them all together. He now plays 3-point guards at the end of games. And by the
it
way,
works.
They're the best clutch team in the world.
Pretty smart.
Speaking of a coach who's having some trouble, coming up, Jim Boylan is planning to make the Bulls practices tougher
in an effort to increase their effort level.
For you.
Is this the right idea? We'll discuss that. But first, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 2001 featuring the late, the great, Kobe Bean.
Kobe and Sarah, the
alley-oop. Oh, give and go.
Kobe with the dunk.
Zing.
And the foul as well.
Was that Bobby Sura?
You missed that head.
The Warriors.
He gave it up.
Bobby thought he was going to get a free steal.
He didn't try anything there.
Looks Kobe's got an earring there that he's covering up.
This week on The Neighborhood.
Is there something going on with the neighbor?
What do you mean?
I can't believe this. He's washing my car for the fifth time this week.
I don't know what to say.
I can help with the car, but not with that.
You're the filthy car.
College Game Day on ESPN, covered by State Farm.
The Jump is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day.
If you can look into the camera, this is for the jump. If you could say it's a make or mislead.
I don't believe that.
Okay. Then you don't have to say it.
I appreciate it.
It's a make or mislead.
I think we're all still getting over Boban, man. Make hops! Kawhi Leonard yammed, that's a verb, all over Robert Covington. By the way, look at the good defense he did. And then Terrence Davis takes off for the slam on Marquise Chris. I want to say which one was better, but I just want to point out, that the Rockets actually played good defense. P.J. Tucker, look at P.J. Tucker, he's playing good.
P.J. Tucker played good defense.
Then Covington picks up. That was a good,
that was a pretty good season.
I mean, Davis was better, but better defense.
Yeah, this makes me go, like, hold me back.
Kawhi.
No. I'm picking Kawhi because of better defense.
Terrence, no, all right, no.
But Malik is going with the rookie, Terrence Davis.
Absolutely.
But good D from the Rockets on that possession. Miss lefties. Zion Williamson is seen signing some of basketballs, and he signs his last name first because he's a lefty. Because he's got to, like, doesn't want to get it on his hand. Malika, should Zion shorten this? This is an awful long time.
We should be doing like the Zorro, like the
big Z.
Yeah, exactly. Like that sort of a thing.
We do it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Who signs anything? What is this, 1964? People just did selfies. What is
like he's in sixth grade? He's making every letter.
It's great.
Penmanship.
It is. It's very nice.
They don't learn to sign anything anymore.
Maybe just because he knew this was going to be on film, he was just really nice.
Really taking the time. But I'm still with the Zorro.
Make awareness. Late in the fourth quarter of Nuggets Hornets, Will Barton threw the pass off the butt of Cody Martin and slammed the ball home to tie the game. That was, by the way, just tied the game. Will Barton, should this be a bucket and an assist?
No.
By the way, we've got some other...
You get the bucket. You don't get an assist.
This has been done before.
So,
it was done last night, or two nights ago, when somebody missed the dunk.
So does the opposing player get the assist then?
There's Chauncey Billups.
Can you get an assist
it's
for someone who's not
you
on
don't,
your team?
But it's
been done a lot.
But it's, you should.
Yeah, I think you should,
And this
too.
Was a key bucket.
No
it wasn't
assist.
A 15-point game.
No, bucket.
And he looks back. Watch this. He looks back and is like, boy, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you, baby.
Yeah. Look how happy he is.
He's still eating out
on wanted
that.
He wanted to get that in.
Miss easy buckets. That was an easy bucket just there. Clippers, Rockets. Patrick Beverley was called for a flagrant foul on this play on James Harden.
And raise his hand. I love it.
I know. Malika, do you agree with this call?
That's kind of a loose, flagrant foul.
Oh, in today's game, I love this because it is straight.
Yeah, he's
out
like,
of
I did
Rick
it.
Mahorn.
I did it.
Charles Oakley playbook. But these days, that's a flagrant foul.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. The Harden is slowing up.
He did slow up to draw contact.
Draw contact.
Which he does.
And so Beverly's like, I'm not giving you the end one.
Let me ask you something. You think Patrick Beverly and his coach, Doc Rivers, won't gladly take that foul? Flagrant or not?
I think it's clearly gladly taking that foul.
$5,000
Yeah, somebody will pay it. He's got an owner. Last I checked.
Well, Beverly is from Chicago. And we got Chicago's own Mike Wilbon here and our former Bulls reporter, Maliki Andrews, who used to live in Chicago. So we have to get into Jim Boylan and the Bulls. According to Chicago Sun-Times, Boylan is planning to ramp up Bulls practices in March, citing the Bulls need to get tougher and increase their effort level. Malika, we're going to start with you. You think this is the right idea at this point?
Look, we both had conversations with people within the Bulls this morning, and they were adamant that it's not what it looks like. What they're saying is we've had so many people out injured. There are so many people that we need to integrate into this system that we just need a little bit more. But at this point in the season, is it the right thing to do?
It's a hard sell with the players.
It's a hard sell.
We have had some hard sells with Boylan.
It's a hard sell with anybody. And by the way, I understand the logic of it. Totally. Here's the problem.
Uh-oh, he's putting on his glasses.
Oh, boy.
Was I imitate Tony Kornheiser and say, I'm going to the glasses. Otto Porter's missed nearly 50 games. I lost track. 46, 47, something
it's
like that.
It's been a lot.
And he's back in the lineup now. Markkanen. The guy goes 35-17, disappears for the opening night. He goes the rest of the way. You can't find him. You've got Chris Dunn. You've got Wendell Carter. You've got Denzel Valentine. The only person who's played all the games until this week, of course, was Zach LaVine. So the problem with making them practice hard is they can't survive a walk into the building without being injured. And so how do you make them – look at that list. This is why I picked the Bulls to be 7th or 8th in the Eastern Conference.
I thought they might be a borderline playoff team.
You can't be a borderline playoff team when you have none of your players. Listen, they're missing four starters the whole way.
Clearly.
You thought they were going to be this injured?
No. But it just
do you fire the training staff? What do you do? No. What do you do about this? Do you change your draft techniques? I mean, what do you do about this many games missed by those players?
In training camp, Jim Boylan brought out the punch card clock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is the punch card clock still operating? I want to know
the person who operates the clock is injured.
He hurt his elbow.
But you know, these 19-year-olds, they don't know how to use those things anyways.
So I really know how to use it.
Does it become moot at that point? And even if Jim is going to be taking guys in and saying, we need this extra time, he's got to be able to communicate that because he has lost some of that buy-in with some of these young players. We saw what happened last year when he was going to pull together a practice after an awful lot. You know, the list keeps going.
Here's the thing I'll say about the Bulls. There is still time left for there to be some positivity in this season.
Sure.
Kobe White has had a terrific last 3-4 weeks.
Yes.
What Jim Boylan, I think, means is he's going to have like a little training camp to get everybody back up to speed. Mm. And they still have, you know, they're not making the playoffs, obviously, but they still have time to get some momentum going. And some of these guys are playing for things, like Lauri Markkanen, who is extension
eligible.
He's extension eligible this summer.
Who's going to sign him having watched him this year?
Chemistry, too. What's
he going to do? He's going to put his opening night 35-18 on a loop?
That's why he's got time.
You know what? Very seldom do I say this. Not making the playoffs, and they're not. This is a failed season for the Chicago Bulls. A failed season. They got nice pieces. They do. But when all of them are off the court all the time, somebody's got to take the hit for this. Either the people who acquired them, the people who's coaching them, or them. And there's some players I would not only not extend Lauri Markkanen, I wouldn't even entertain it. I would say, you know what, thank you for your 3 years of service.
Wow. Okay. Coming up. LeBron says he's not motivated by MVP awards, if he says so, and he wants to be the greatest player ever. That I believe. Ramona Shelburne's going to join us next as we look ahead to Lakers-Bucks tonight. That's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned.
Can we know me?
You all have questions for LeBron?
I'm ready.
My name is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
There's no pressure. I've been getting pressure since I was 10 years old.
I can do everything in the court.
Y'all going to be excited about coming to the games.
I want to be an NBA player.
Here comes Showtime.
I'm just trying to do the best I can. I think I'm going to do a real good job.
When you start something, you want to be the best.
How cool was that? Yeah. Tip off your NBA Friday. Double header right here on ESPN and the app. Zion and the Pelicans host Jimmy Butler in the Heat at 8 Eastern, which is a big game. Then a matchup of the best records in the association, Giannis and the Bucks against LeBron and the Lakers. Also, Bucks executive Alex Lazary's bachelor party, just so you know. Whoa. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown tonight. I did not get invited.
There's a note.
Welcome back to The Jump. ESPN senior writer Ramona Shelburne joins us now. Thank you, Ramona, for stopping by.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bucks-Lakers will feature last season's MVP, Giannis, versus four-time MVP, thinks he should be eight-time MVP, LeBron James. Giannis' overwhelming favorite to repeat this year with minus 3,000 odds. Yesterday, LeBron was asked if he's motivated this season by winning another MVP, as we said.
Regular season MVP has never motivated me. To be the best to ever play the game has motivated me and has resulted in me being able to be league MVP a couple times. But I've never gone into the season saying, okay, league MVP is what I want to be. I've gone into the season saying, okay, I want to be the MVP of this team. I want to be the best player in the world. And how I approach my game every day, how I take care of my body every day has resulted in things like that.
I want to be best player in the world, but not MVP. Okay, Ramona, do you buy that LeBron is not motivated by the MVP this year?
Yes. Okay. Look, this is, you know what LeBron is saying right there? He's saying, if I have to tell you that I'm the best player in the league, then that's kind of on you. Like, you should just know.
That's great.
Right? Like, that's LeBron saying,
I'm the best
like,
player in the world. How do you feel about me?
Yeah, right. Like, that's LeBron asserting his, this is still my league statement. Mm. And it actually reminds me of about 10 years ago when LeBron and Kobe were in that stage in their relationship, right? It was 2008, 2009-ish, right? LeBron hadn't won yet. I think I got hired at ESPN in and around the time when the sock puppets were promoting the Lakers and the Cavs on Christmas Day, and it was kind of like...
We've tried to forget that.
I know, but I never will. Kobe's league, LeBron was coming. You felt that at the Olympics in 2008. You felt that in 2008. This is what it's like right now with LeBron and Giannis, okay? It's LeBron's league still, but Giannis is coming. And he hasn't won yet, and he knows he needs to win to be that guy. Yeah. But LeBron is like, I'm still here. I mean, that's what I feel tonight when I watch these two go out.
No, nobody's as precise with the language of basketball as LeBron.
That's right.
He's very careful.
He's more than careful because I don't think he's disingenuous. I think he's just precise.
Yes.
Like, by the way, let me just throw a gratuitous kiss out there. No one is better post-game than LeBron James. No one. Maybe no one ever. He's the best. He listens to you. He's engaged. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's saying. And I believe him. I believe that he missed the playoffs last year. Last year was awful in a way. Now, he came back rested. He's ready to go. He wants to win. Period. That's it. At the end of these careers, and I was around this with Michael, they just want to beat you. They just want to win. They've already thought, where can they put more hardware?
Right.
They can't.
But isn't the MVP award hardware?
Doesn't matter.
Well, but what I'm saying
where did he put that?
I think it's a matter of semantics, because when you're talking about LeBron saying, I want to be the best player in the world, which absolutely, he said that a lot. He does. When you talk about Michael Jordan, when you talk about these other guys that are in that conversation with him, a lot of folks end up going back to the rings. They end up going back to the awards, because that's
rings,
the tangible.
Not the awards.
That's the tangible.
Rings.
That's the tangible.
There's only one tangible.
So there is discussions that you can have about who you think is better, but if you're able to say, well, he won more MVP awards, he won more championships, that's tangible. That is tangible.
Look, for LeBron at this stage in his career, though, a regular season MVP award?
Nothing.
That's empty calories.
It's one tangible.
But
championship.
Empty calories. That's second shelf, okay? Top shelf is the rings.
He still wants it. He doesn't want it above all else. Let me just say.
For sure.
He thinks he should honestly have about six or seven.
Right.
Okay. He thinks he should have won one the year Derrick Rose won it. He thought he got penalized for the decision. He thought he should have won one or two in Cleveland. He thought he should have won the finals MVP when Iguodala won it. He thought he should have been the first guy since Jerry West to get it in 2015 from a losing team. Now, he's not going to come out and ever say that, because, yes, he wants the Bill Russell trophy when it comes with Larry O'Brien trophy, but he wants it. And the other thing is, this is difficult for him to articulate, but he thinks he should get credit for what he does off the court, like bringing the teams together, rallying them.
He does.
But he won't against, because you look at Giannis' stats, what the Bucks have gone through.
Oh, no, not in the MVP discussion. You don't get credit for it.
You don't get that. That's what the community system.
You know what LeBron gets credit for? And I cede to you on all these insights with LeBron because you've known him forever, both of you. But LeBron gets credit for this in a way that no one gets credit for anything. LeBron gets credit for being the conscience of the league, not the face. Tell with the face of the league. You can't control that anyway. LeBron's the conscience of this league. Well, he gets credit for that.
And he wants that.
And he should get it.
And he wants the MVP.
What's the other one too?
Well, he doesn't have to choose. Point should apply to the MVP vote.
He would never say it, but trust me, he does.
I agree with you.
The Lakers finalized the deal with Dion Waiters for their 15th man. LA's been looking to add a scoring guard off the bench. He only played in 3 games for the Heat this season. Ramona, do you think Dion can make a major difference for the Lakers?
Major difference, no. But can he win you a quarter? Can he win you a game? Yes. He has that eruptability, okay? That heat check kind of quality.
And eruptability?
I don't know.
I was going to say disruptability.
Well,
that's the
that
scale.
Too. Okay? But I just a couple of weeks ago, I was in Miami. He had been exiled on Waiters Island for most of the season, but they had so many injuries he had to play.
He was on a boat off Waiters Island.
Yeah, I know.
Bring him back in.
That's right. And he almost beat the Clippers himself. Okay, he comes off the bench. Waiters, whoa, Dion Waiters, and he was great. And so, he can still do that. And I think the Lakers spent a lot of time with him.
That's why they signed.
He can, but if he has to, the Lakers are in trouble
for sure.
If the Lakers have to go to the pen to get Dion Waiters in any significant way, then they're in trouble.
Right.
I mean, I understand that. Look, there could be injuries. There are reasons you could need to call on someone, but. Difference in the playoffs?
A quarter, a game?
It could be a quarter. It could be a game. But it's not like, you know, Marc Gasol going to Toronto. Like, that was like a...
That's major.
So when you say major difference, that makes a major difference. This is like, it could be something. They worked out other guys. They didn't have to sign him.
He's like their 14th choice. They tried to bring in everybody else in North America.
15th man, 14th choice.
They went to the Premier League looking for people before they brought in Dion Waiters.
Guys, the Premier League are too short. It's the best, most favorite part of producer Steve's time in the show. They're off in the race for 8. The Pelicans have lost 3 straight and dropped all the way to 12th in the Western Conference standings. They host the Heat tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. Malika, are we ready to call this a must-win game for the Pelicans?
Yes.
Ooh.
And it didn't even finish the question. Yes, it's a must-win. And it doesn't matter who they were playing against or if it's even a feasible win. If you're 5 games out at this point in the season when you were allegedly chasing the Grizzlies, they had one of the toughest schedule, if not the toughest schedule, for the remainder of the season. And the Pelicans allegedly had one of the easier schedules. There it is.
Not just allegedly, Malika.
The easiest.
Literally.
So, yes, this is a must-win game. You can't afford to slip more than 5 games. 5 games is already a little too much.
They blew that game against the Wolves this week, and they got to get it back.
Yeah. Look, they're the worst crunch time team in the league. They're losing so many games at the end, which means you're right there, but you're not figuring out a way to win at the end of games.
Can't get stops.
And that game against Dallas the other night, I mean, that as great as they have looked, they have not closed it, and they have not won these games. And it's not so much that they're 5 games back that worries me. It's how many teams they have to pass. Yeah. So if it was just them and the Grizzlies, I'd say, you know what, they could go on a run. Memphis could fall off because of the schedule disparity that you talked about, Malika. But you got Sacramento, Portland, San Antonio in front of you. All
trying to get
Michael, they do have 7 games left against those teams in front of them, but they pretty much got to win them all.
Yeah.
But I'm going to flip this for a second. I'm not going to call it a must win. I'll stop short of that. It's a need game for Miami. I mean, we have expectations of Miami.
Yeah.
We don't have any of those other. Whoever gets that 8 spot, great. I still think it'll be Memphis. They'll hold on to it. But how about Miami? I mean, they lost 7 of 9 at one point. They've recovered where they won 4 in a row now, and they seem to have gotten themselves together. But there's certain situations you want to avoid if you're Miami. You want to finish as high up as you can. They got a shot at having home court in the first round. I think there's as much pressure on Miami to win this game tonight as there is on New Orleans.
Duncan Robinson, huge night the other night, 9 three-pointers. Coming up, the Sixers finally won a road game last night. All right. But injuries to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are still lingering. We're going to break, but when we come back, the Sixers' cone of uncertainty is coming with us. And here's what The Jump recommends for today. Charlotte Gibson has a great piece on ESPNW right now profiling the trailblazing women coaches in the NBA. Ramona, as we go to break, what impact have women made in the coaching ranks this year?
Look, this is just opportunity, okay? So when you have 12 women, if there's just one, there's not many odds that they break through. But now that there's 12, 12 turns into 20. 20 turns into 40. That's going to happen in the next 5 years.
I'm Zach Lowe, and here's what I like and don't like this week in the NBA. I like saying, uh-oh, here come the Clippers. Remember when people were worried about the Clippers losing games without two or three starters, including one of the league's 10 best players? That was cute. After beating the Rockets Thursday, the Clippers have won six straight, and when they are engaged, they are a nightmare to score on, all spread out arms and fast feet and sneering faces. They switch seamlessly across three positions with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and Marcus Morris on the floor, and Patrick Beverley is stout and mean enough to make it four in some matchups. And now, you hear them talking more on defense. You see them executing more sophisticated maneuvers on the fly. The same evolution is happening on offense, where Doc Rivers is testing out new screening actions all over the floor. One of George, Leonard, and Morris has a size mismatch almost all the time. And if the Clippers don't like the one they see at the start of a possession, they just move the pieces around until they find something even more lopsided. The Clippers look like a contender rounding into form at the right time. I picked them to win the title before the season, and I'm sticking with it.
It's Harris with a floater, a little bit off balance.
I don't really like Tobias Harris's playmaking. Look, Harris is a really good player who does a little bit of everything for a team that, because of its weirdo personnel, guys with huge skills and huge holes in their game, sorely needs a jack-of-all-trades type just like him. If there's something, though, that leaves you a little bit wanting, it's his playmaking.
Harris working against Giannis. Stare down three, no good.
Sometimes Harris shoots before compromising the defense or even giving teammates a chance to get open. I like the one-of-a-kind joy of Nikola Jokic. Denver has suffered some alarming recent losses. A blowout against the Clippers and an absolute dud at home against the Warriors. It's fair to question their status as wannabe contenders. But set all that aside and just appreciate the one-of-a-kind passing brilliance the Joker slings every night.
Jokic, long pass! What a pass. Big Manning again smiling.
Jokic more or less is Denver's offense. He's probably already the best passing big man ever, with the caveat that we never saw prime Arvydas Sabonis here. For more, check out my column, 10 Things I Like and Don't Like on ESPN.com.
That kind of emotion from Zach Lowe is usually saved for mascot and court design.
Uniforms.
Steph Curry will be back with our NBA Saturday primetime game. All right. That has the Warriors hosting the 76ers. Our coverage tips with The Jump at 8 Eastern with Rachel up in the Bay, 5 Pacific on ABC. You can always watch on the ESPN app from anywhere. You know all that already. Hey, the Sixers had high expectations coming into the season, but they're just 5th in the East, barely 5th, and nursing a bunch of injuries to their key players. 3 starters were out last night. Now, Ramona, you wrote a piece on the Sixers that dropped this morning about whether they can live up to their expectations. Before I ask you about that, I think it's time for us to refresh everybody on what I call the Sixers' cone of uncertainty.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because honestly, this team could get a bad first-round matchup and get out. When you're 28-2, I can't rule out you winning enough home games to get to the finals. You talked to Brett Brown a lot for this piece. Mm-hmm. You tell a nice story about him spending the All-Star break in his hometown of Portland, Maine, trying to figure stuff out. What do you think about where this team's headed right now?
Look, they arrived ahead of schedule, but I think they might be arriving towards the end of this ahead of schedule too, right?
That's,
where you have to make hard decisions.
That was hard truth right there.
Right? I mean, I think they made the playoffs and they were a great story literally 2 years ago. Like, the process ended 2 years ago when they got into the playoffs, they beat Miami, and then they lose to Boston in the second round. And it was like, oh, these guys have arrived. And with those expectations came pressure. And with that pressure has come noise. And I think now the question for the Sixers is that noise going to break them apart or make them stronger together? Because I've seen teams do both. I mean, you've covered teams that have done both, like you, especially with LeBron teams in Miami, LeBron teams in Cleveland, here in Los Angeles. I've seen teams that have been the drama team in the NBA. Every day there's something. And sometimes it actually has a way of centering you and focusing you. And I think that's where the Sixers are right now, where we don't know which way it's going to go. Mm. This is either going to drive them all apart, and this will be the end of this experiment. We'll see where how they all reconstitute next year. Or it brings them together, and they rise to the occasion.
But Ramona, don't you have to have a forceful figure if you're going to galvanize? And
yeah.
Who's the forceful figure?
Joel
like
Embiid.
The teams you've mentioned, yeah. You're right. There are some teams that have historically
yeah.
done that. But they have got a driver in that locker room. and somebody who would be willing to start a fight and throw a punch and take one.
Joel could.
Did Joel have that?
Well, that's what we've got to find out. I mean, I honestly
think... He's thrown some punches or got suspended or something.
Carl Anthony Towns, yeah.
He's thrown a lot more shade than punches. But I think if you... that it's got to be him. I mean, he is the face of the process.
Is Ben going to go along with that?
Well...
Malika, you spend so much time in the Eastern Conference. Like, when I look at what Ramona said here, like, Boston is on the rise. The Heat are on the rise. Obviously, the Bucks have kind of already arrived. They're kind of... passing the Sixers. There's some pressure here.
It's just that we've been having the same conversation around the Sixers and their uncertainty for the last 3 years, maybe more. But it's been the last 3 years. And it's just, again, we arrive at this time of year where they should maybe be playing their best basketball. And it's like there are still more questions left unanswered than the ones that are answered. Can they win on the road? Does this Joel Ben Simmons playing together actually work? Did signing Al Horford, is that helpful? You know, who is the guard that's going to create for all of these guys? And it's the same thing over and over. Isn't that like the definition of insanity?
True.
Same thing over and over.
Here's where I come in and say that there's always time in the NBA and that you could make the argument that if they finish sixth, which would put them on the opposite side of the Bucks, on the side where the Celtics are, who they've had a lot of success against this year, they still believe that they can beat the Raptors. It's not over.
Fran, I can tell. We feel the same way about this. I don't want to write them off.
Yeah. Tone of uncertainty.
I'm scared to write them off because there's so much talent there that if they pull it together. But you know what? More often than not, when we have that sentence, I don't want to write them off because they have so much talent.
Right.
Straight in the dumper. And here's the question. We haven't mentioned a coach, right? Now, if we're going to talk about pulling a team together between now and April 15th, the coach had better be somewhere in that equation. And Ramona, what are we talking? I mean, how long is he going to be there?
Well, I think that Brett had a fundamental choice, okay? About right around the trade deadline All-Star break, where you look at this team, it's underachieved. You're still trying to make Joel and Ben work. And he told me he does this every year. He drives up to Portland, Maine, where he's from. And he gets an Airbnb. And I go, you don't want to get a hotel? And he's like, no, I like to spread out. I like my space. And all day long, he sits and watches tape. He does work. And it's not like a all-nighter thing. It's just let's get some big picture perspective. And in years past, when they were bad, he would sit and watch all the close games in the NBA because he wanted to be ready for that when the Sixers were finally ready to win. This year, he watched the last 2 years' playoff games. And he wanted to get himself back to this place where he said, can this team win? We lost in the playoffs the last 2 years in the second round. They were so close last year, as you know.
Did he watch bounce? Did he watch that?
There were a couple bounces away.
And his big takeaway from this was Joel and Ben can win. He really believes that they can win.
We'll see.
The question is, will he be the one coaching and when they do?
And will we be saying it again
shortly
next year?
Hey, thanks, Ramona, for stopping by.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend. We know you will. Up next, the Lakers are facing the top team in the East tonight. And the number two team in the West on Sunday in the Clippers. So which game is more important to them? But first, time for our second distant replay of the day. This one from the Lob City Clippers.
You gonna play the music?
On this date in 2013.
That was mean. I think I was sitting right there and stood up out of my chair.
Filthy.
Look at young DeAndre.
Ridiculous. This pass.
Eric Bledsoe. Oh, man. Oh.
Why is...
Andy Windmill is gone, too. Look.
He not in the league?
Oh, man.
Jay Crawford.
Why is Jay Crawford not in the league?
Let's take a look at this week's Hits of Style, brought to you by Sprite Ginger. Last night, James Harden showed up rocking shorts. Why not?
Is that pink?
The DJ in on
but it changed color. No.
Westbrook. Oh, wow. In Westbrook.
He's tropics meet.
Depends on which
Hawaii,
side you are of him, whether you like it or not. And then here we have P.J. Tucker.
I think you should wear those pants, Brian.
Malika, would you refer to these fits as fire?
I'm going with the most fire one being James Harden's fit. That is the...
You loved how it changed things.
It did. It's like the dress.
Crazy on that.
It's like that dress from a couple
probably
of years ago.
Probably cost $15,000.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on to the Lakers, who will be challenged this weekend, to say the least. Tonight, there's the task of facing a team on pace for 70 wins in the Bucks. Then Sunday, it's the big boy game. The second seed in the West, the L.A. Clippers. Come on in. Wilbon, what's the more important matchup for the Lakers this weekend?
The Clippers, without question to me. You got to go through the Clippers before you get to Milwaukee, if you're going to get to Milwaukee. I mean, the Clippers stand squarely in the way. And the formidable task is the way the Clippers are playing now and with all their bodies. And this is the task.
And 2 days off, by the way. Everyone's going to play. Everyone's
that's
healthy.
Right.
Right.
That's
two
right.
2 days off. No, no,
no management,
worries,
any of anything.
No complaints.
So I think it's got to be the Clippers. I understand Milwaukee, you know, beat them. They want, there's some sense of we've got to get this back, run this back.
Yeah.
Clippers.
It physically pains me to agree with Michael Wilbon. but yes, it is absolutely the Clippers because, like he said, they will have to face them probably first before they even get to Milwaukee. And then secondly, they do not want to. I know, you know, the regular season, Toronto lost a lot to the Bucks last year and they still beat them in the finals, but you don't want to not have a win against the Clippers at this point.
Let me just say this. Going back to last summer.
No 0-3.
The Clippers beat them on Kawhi. They beat him on opening night.
Yeah.
They beat him on Christmas Day. Mm. They beat him to get Marcus Morris.
Say it.
They beat him to get Reggie Jackson. Not that I think that's going to tip the title. At some point, the Lakers need to start beating
some small
the
wins.
In
some wins.
Something.
Start Sunday.
And their fourth matchup was the rescheduled game, and everyone's going to be at the end of the season on back-to-backs.
No,
and
no one's playing.
This is the game.
They can't afford to lose this one.
But we have some news.
Uh-oh.
At the buzzer. Hello, at the buzzer. Blazers center, I thought I was going to hear, but there it is! Blazers center Yusef Nurkic, remember him? Told the Yahoo Sports he'll make his return March 15th. That's next
weekend.
Wow. When Portland's at home against the Rockets. More good news for the Rockets.
Like
he was not afraid of micro ball, which that game will be on ABC. He's missed nearly a year.
Oh, that was
We're not going to show it. Don't
nasty.
Worry. We're not going to show it after that broken leg. And he boldly proclaimed to Yahoo, quote, I'm ready to help my team make the playoffs. It's time. Wilbon, will Nurkic's return be enough to push the Blazers over the top into the eighth seed?
I think the Blazers are the team that that Memphis should be the most worried about.
Absolutely.
I do believe that. And regardless of strength of schedule, I think he could push them. I mean, it's hard to walk in off the street and help a team. But when I look at that, the Kings had a bad loss. I mean, Spurs, I know the 60s, no. Mm-hmm. Pelicans, no. So I'm going to go Grizzlies, Trailblazers.
Which one does Dame Lillard play for? That's what I said.
Yeah.
And he's back out there if he's healthy.
They struggled with that big man position. I mean, you know, Whiteside's not the answer. Not really. They
Nurkic,
had some issues there. Nurkic was their most, he was just hitting his stride
Nurkic
when he went out.
Nurkic is a road grading screen setter.
Who gives the Lakers even a test? Who can win a game against the Lakers in a 1-8 situation in the playoffs?
Dame Lillard putting up 50.
Yep.
Portland.
Absolutely.
Yeah, answers Portland.
And, you know,
and Nurkic setting the screens for
The thing here is the Grizzlies lost 5 in a row, but because Dame was hurt, the Blazers went 2-4 and they couldn't make it up. So if they were tied now, I'd feel really strong about it. But they've still got that cushion. Hey, thanks, Rachel, for letting me have this seat for a day, but you can have it back tomorrow night. Malika and Wilbon will be all over television tonight and all over the weekend. And thanks also for Ramona for joining us. Big basketball weekend
big
on ESPN
basketball.
And ABC. What are you doing? You're going to be quarantined anyway. Just watch it.
That's a great sign off.